Good evening. It's good to be here at God's house. Glad to see all of you that have come out this evening, and trust that you've had a good afternoon in the Lord. And we're going to continue our studies on how to outreach. We looked at the reason why, and last Sunday then we saw that we were enabled to share the gospel in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. We got saved, the Holy Ghost of God came upon us, and we became witnesses, or we should have. And that's part of the Christian faith, is telling others about what Jesus has done for us. And so tonight, as we get started, we're going to talk about how to gain a hearing for the gospel. How to get somebody to listen. How to open the door. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening when we get there. Now, we'll be in Acts chapter 3 when we do get there. Talking about the Valentine banquet for the youth for a moment. We would really be blessed if somebody would have a record player. If you have a record player that you could use, and some 50 style gospel music. The youth want to do, what is it called, a banquet of some sort? Feasting in the 50s, with the 50s. I don't know any singers alive that would have albums from the 50s, but maybe somebody might have some. Well, Carl does. There we go. Ask and you'll receive. And so they want to play that while we're eating, 50 style music. Is it playable, Brother Carl? Okay, so there we go. Then y'all can gather up all the other stuff with the next meeting. I just wanted to search for a record player because I knew that some of y'all that would have that would be gone during the meeting. So that would be a blessing there. And then, you know about the light situation, almost falling on top of heads right there. Well, we was able to get it down for sake of a good night's rest. I will not discuss how we got it down. We'll just keep quiet about that and let you wonder how Benji got up there. He's a good son. He got up there and got it down for us. And so Brother Bill has contacted a friend of his and got sets of scaffolding that the gentleman's going to loan us here at the church. And Brother Bill's working out the details of when he can get it. He's hoping to get it maybe toward the middle of the week, at the end of the week. And what I'm thinking, church, is that these lights, we can't use the fans. They could use the fans before they put the lights, and then put the lights, then you couldn't use the fans because of shadows. They just were slinging shadows everywhere. So that's why it's all off. Really going to try to, if we can do it, is replace these with 7 downward lights like what is over at the other church, the Discovery Building. So be in prayer about that as we talk and discuss what we're going to do. It's very difficult changing these bulbs with that pole at that angle, and we see that we could actually push it off of the screws there. So we're going to see about changing some of these out. So y'all be in prayer with that, about it, so we can stay safe and get those taken care of in a timely manner. And that'll be a big help with lighting. Over there we have chandeliers that hang with 7 lights in it. I've looked and I cannot find any at all. They have 5 lights, the most I can find. And it took us a hard time finding those, but we did finally do it. So maybe we'll have to swap, put 5 there and bring the 7s here. Y'all be in prayer about that. That'll be a challenge, But we think the Lord has worked out all the details on that. And we can get that one single fan, lonely thing, to spin all by itself. We can get that one stopped. And that'd be a blessing. Well, the Lord's been good to us, church. You know, we had a wonderful crowd this morning. Actually, all year we've had a wonderful crowd. Been really good. How the Lord has been blessing the church again this year. And it comes from faithfulness, and that's what we're going to stay. We're just going to stay faithful. Stay faithful, loving people, reaching out to people. And so that's why we've been kind of looking over outreach and soul winning, because it is important. And to be quite honest, we meet people on a daily basis, or we know people on a daily basis that, quite frankly, they need the Lord. If they're not saved, they should need the Lord, but there are folks that are saved that just got out there wandering around dark in this old world, and they've lost track. Their compass has been broken. We got the true compass. We do. Bible's true. Sanctified unto thy word is truth, and it'll point them in the right direction. But you know as well as I do, getting out in this world and living in carnality and immorality, and you can make all kind of bad mistakes. All kind of bad mistakes. But we have a God that is able to turn things around again for folks and to get them back on the right track. And so, if it's important to God that He would so important to God, He would send His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary to save our souls. That's really important to Him. And it should be important to us. And so that's why we're looking at it. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. What we're going to kind of look at tonight, we're going to be asking some questions, presenting some stuff that just make us think more or less. But I want to give you an example of scripture where acts of kindness open the door for the gospel. Acts chapter 1, we're going to start reading, Acts chapter 3, verse 1, and we're going to read all the way down to verse number 26. So it's going to be a little bit lengthy of reading, but bear with me, follow along in your Bible as we read together. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye this? Or why ye look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness he had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go.
Verse 14. But he denied the Holy One and just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of y'all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brother, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these things. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. There was a youth group that the leaders of the youth group and the youth got concerned about their community. And they began to seek out ways of how they might be able to reach out in their community and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with their community. And on this one street, they saw that there was an old house that was run down, the weeds grown up, and had been lack of paint for many years. There was an elderly gentleman that lived in the home. And they went there as a group, approached the yard and told the man that they was from such and such church and that they came by just to simply clean up his yard. Did not want anything else. The man was astonished and amazed that they would offer such kindness to him, for he had not been to their church. He was living on a pension. And actually, because of certain circumstances in life, had no desire whatsoever for religion of any kind. But as the youth group began to work hard, they began to clean up the yard and begin to mow it and get down the weeds and put on a coat of paint. And every time the man would come out to try to talk with them and try to offer them some money for their efforts, and they said, no, sir, we're not here for money. But we would like to tell you that the God of heaven sent his only begotten Son, and he loves all people, and he died for everybody, and he loves you. And they just kept working hard. Finally, the task was done. They gathered up outside of the yard and began to pray off in the corner. One of the leaders approached the elderly man and told him, we're thankful that you gave us this privilege, this honor to come by and to be able to show you a little tidbit of kindness. He said, okay, thank you very much. And he offered him a gospel tract. He said, sir, I want you to know that what is going on now and what is happening now is not because our church is great, but it's because God loves the world. And he shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with him. I'm here to tell you, if they were to walk on the doorstep and knock on the door and wanted to present the gospel, the man would not listen. But because of the act of kindness, because of the courtesy of the youth and the job that was done and the task that was accomplished, he gave ear. He didn't get saved. He did listen. That's all that has to happen. We're to plant, we're to water, and we're to allow God to bring the increase. Amen. Later on that night, the man could not rest. Could not rest. Got up out of his bed and got his Bible that he had read with his wife before she passed away together. That he had actually read with his children as they were growing up on occasion. And took that gospel tract. And that night alone by himself trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Well on up in age. He couldn't come to the church and offer a helping hand of caring for the church property. His body would not physically allow him. He did not have a large bank account that he could bequeath all of his belongings to the church. It was just simply a man in the neighborhood that had no ability to even care for his own property that a church reached out to. And by that act of kindness, opened the door that they may be able to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember last week I asked you to think about somebody that you know that needs the gospel. Pray for them. Ask God to open the door. I hope you've chosen somebody. I hope in your heart, in your mind, you've put their name somewhere and you're praying for them. You're asking God to give you an open door, an opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you said, "Preacher, I've been praying. Preacher, I've been asking God. I just don't know how to open that. I don't know how to get somebody to listen." That's what tonight's about. Getting somebody, somewhere, somehow, to listen to what we have to say. Now, think about this. What is the kindest thing that some other person has ever done for you? Think about it in your own mind. What is the kindest thing that somebody has ever done for you? Made an impression on you, didn't it? Some of you are sitting here thinking about countless of things that somebody has been kind to you and did for you that made an impression on your life. That even right now, as you're sitting there thinking and pondering, it's almost like a flash of refreshment and that it's there. It's like a rewind of life. Kindness is important. Here as we read Acts chapter number 3, verses 1 through 26. We read the whole thing. Peter and John were going to the temple. They were going there to do something. They were going there to do what? Pray. What did I ask you to do last week? Pray. This man had sat daily at the temple. Obviously, they went to the temple to pray. And they went quite often. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Being the ninth hour, they were going there to pray. Now, there was a lame man that was there. What was he there for? The lame man was there begging for alms. Begging for something that would help him sustain life. He had an immediate need. But the immediate need that he really had need of was greater than physical. Peter and John did not just take care of the physical need, but they used the physical need to meet that need to open the door of the gospel. If I read this passage correctly, they didn't offer the gospel to this man until after they were inside the temple. They didn't witness to the crowd. They didn't have an ear of the crowd until the act of kindness was done. So they went there to pray. They had a purpose. The beggar man was there. He had a purpose. He needed money for survival. What did the lame man believe was his greatest need and want at that time? Food. Money. We have to be very careful to balance outreach. Social outreach is great. But when social outreach stops short of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it offers no hope. It offers no change. We have to use the outward kindness of reaching out to someone's perceived need with a focus on getting to their real need. Salvation. Salvation. He wanted money for food, according to verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He got more than he was expecting, didn't he? More than he was expecting. What did he receive instead of food? Look at verse 6. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. This gentleman, this beggar, this lame man, he didn't feel a need for spiritual salvation. He felt a need to feel his belly, his physical need. Where do you think James and John learned? Who taught them? Jesus Christ. How many times did Jesus do something kind for somebody that they didn't even offer thanks? Think about the 10 lepers. One came back to offer thanks. Think about the 5,000 men that sit there, plus the women and children that ate. Then they got on the other side, and he began to present them with some truths, and they say, hey, you know, he said, you came for, you just wanted to be fed. That's all you came for. This person's felt need, this person's perceived need was great in his eyes. We have to be careful that we do not discount too quickly someone's perceived need. I'm going to tell you, being in the ministry, being here at church, and getting phone calls after phone calls about somebody needing this, somebody needing that, you have to weed through quite a bit. I'm not talking about the phone call circuit. These guys got a notebook they go through, I'm telling you. Sometimes there's a real need. We met one not too long ago, didn't we, Brother Victor? Family that was in need came down and had a job, and the job, they told him, well, the job didn't give him somebody else, and you don't have a job. After he done moved down with his family. Takes a little digging, but you get an answer. Sometimes you get all mad and frustrated, and they ask, the secretary of the church said, well, who is your boss? His name's Pastor Stockton. What's your name? My name is Kim. She's just kind, sweet, gentle. Well, I'm going to call back and talk to your boss. Well, you can have his cell phone number if you want it. It takes just a little bit of digging. Man, where do you go to church? Well, what does church have to do? Well, you know, church is very important. Has your church helped you in this need? Well, I don't have no need for church. No, but you have need for church money. What's your pastor's name? I don't have a pastor's name. Well, I'd like to call your pastor. Then sometimes they tell me. Well, it's Pastor Johnson from the Second Temple of the Social Security Baptist Church of downtown Kissimmee. What's his name and number? I would like to talk with him and ask him, sir, have you helped this person? Because sometimes what has happened, they've used and used and used the other place until they've run out of use. But just they're digging, a few simple questions, and you don't have to be cruel and mean about it. I don't discount their need. Matter of fact, there's one guy, he calls me about every 6 months. He got a new store every day. I mean, every time he calls me. Last time I called him, I said, and we actually, the first time he called, we actually sent $90, not to him, but to his rental place. And that time he was waiting on a claim that it was about to come through. He had fallen down somewhere and it was about to work out, and he just needed $9 to pay the month's rent. And he didn't even ask. He said, just send it to if you'll send it to the company. So I called the deacons and we just sent it to the company. 6 months later, hello, and it's the same voice. Except the story had changed. So as he spilled it out, I said, what happened to the claim? He said, sir, what claim are you talking about? The claim where you had failed and you were supposed to get some money. He said, well, that didn't really work out, but I'm about to get an inheritance. I said, you're about to get off this phone, sir. That's what you're about to do. This man had a felt need. He felt that he needed, he was a beggar. Back then, they didn't. That was the only way he could make it. Begging on. I'm not talking, church, about us being used and abused by society. I'm talking about you and I walking in the Spirit of the Lord and the Lord giving us direct guidance that this person is real. This person needs help. Said, well, I don't know how he could do that. We have a God that created the heavens and the earth. He can guide and direct and show us who has a real need. A real need. And so this man had a need. They didn't have the ability to meet it. And I tell a lot of folks, I tell them, look, we can't help you, but if you'll come to church and you'll come visit with us on Sunday morning, Sunday night, I'll sit and talk with you. Just come and just sit in the house of God for a moment. And we'll talk with you. Listen, if they will not show up to the house of God, their need is not really that great. Just isn't. Well, preacher, what if they cannot make it? We've got buses, and I tell them, we'll come get you. Well, I just can't. Alms. Peter and John turn and said, silver and gold have I not, but that which I do have. Listen, church, we can't meet everybody's financial need. But we can be kind. We can be kind. And acts of kindness will open the door to sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give you freely. Arise and walk. And he took his hand. He stood up there in verse 7 and he began to leap up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. What's an act of kindness? You remember the shoebox store? The shoebox, Christmas shoebox thing we did here at the church. We gathered all the toys up, had donations, and they brought them in. They made bags, and then several folks delivered them out and got them out. Within 2 days of that, there was two families that called and said, Pastor, I want to tell you. Now, we delivered probably 30. You say, but only two? Jesus healed 10, and only one. But two of them called and said, Pastor, I want you to know and tell the church how thankful we are.
Me and my husband were both working two part-time jobs, and it's just not making. We can hardly even make our mortgage, but we're making it. We're paying it, but we didn't have nothing hard at all to give. Hard at all. One of the families that the church gave gifts to, one of the bus families the church gave gifts to, now for 3 weeks they've been coming to church on Sunday mornings, the mom and daddy and all the kids.
Amen.
An act of kindness. We'd visit with them. We'd talk with them. We'd spend time with them. We'd went by, sent flyers and invitations. There was no open. They was not interested. Why? They were struggling. They were working. They were hurting. They were trying to do right. They were trying to provide for their family, their kids, and to give something. And here is this total bunch of group of strangers who offered something in kindness to their kids. Now they're coming. Samara's grandma. Acts of kindness opens doors, church. Opens doors. What was the results for Peter and John as they did what they did for this man? It wasn't in them. They gave credit to proper due. That, why are you gazing at us? Why are you looking at us? What did we do? Hey, it was all about Jesus. What was the results, though? From that point on, they began to tell the gospel story. From that very point, leaping in joy, and he laid the gate in verse 10. They knew that he was, this is the one. They knew it. Verse 11, as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them at the porch that was called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel at this? Or look ye so earnestly on us?" And he goes on and said, "The God of Abraham," and he names Isaac and Jacob, "hath glorified" who? Verse 13, "his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up." You see that? The act of kindness opened the door for the gospel. They were guilty. You delivered him up. You denied him in the presence of Pilate, was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Let me tell you this. Just ask yourself this. What if they would have passed, just stepped over the old beggar guy, walked into the temple, said, "Hey, you bunch of crooked old sinners, you're about to go to hell. You denied the Lord Jesus. You're the one that turned him over, and you took a murder to yourself. All of you about to..." Who would have listened?
Right.
They're saying the same exact thing now after the act of kindness. And they're listening. They're listening. What was the result of the act of kindness? An open door for the gospel. Now we have to be careful that we don't just become a bunch of kind folks who do not lovingly tell the truth. What was the truth? You denied Jesus. You turned him over. Without him, you're going to spend eternity in hell. What opened the door? The kindness. The kindness. You know why we run the buses? It's not so that we can count folks and say, "Look how many we had come in," and I get to tell my preacher friends that the buses was full. You know why we run buses? Because the ones we pick up on those buses don't even have the means to get themselves here. It's an act of kindness that may open the door into families. The whole congregation is listening now. Verse 15, "And kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore we are" what? What was last week's message? Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Witness. Witness. We have been unable to witness. Peter had the power upon him. He had preached the day of Pentecost. He knew how to witness, folks. But the door of opening or opportunity was not yet there. And he had to do something to get the door open.
The man was healed. Praise God. The people marveled. Now they were interested in what Peter had to say. Hurting families. Broken homes. Kids whose mama has done have relationships with four or five different men. They got brothers and sisters. No, that's not my daddy, that's his daddy. And the one we're living with now, he's just living here. Kindness. Kindness. Yeah, preacher, but they're living like hogs and dogs, and so are we. So were we, such were some of you. What keeps us going? It's knowing where we came from and who made a difference in our life. What they did point out, however, in this whole passage as we read it, was the act of kindness opened the door for opportunity for a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what the whole point of it was. It wasn't to bring glory to Peter and John. Look at what we can do. Sunday school teaches it's not to say, wow, look how I can tell the story. Oh, prepare yourself. Study the scripture. Study the plan. Look into it. Know it front and back. But allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak through you. Their act of mercy allowed grace to enter into the picture. And I'll tell you, when mercy and grace meet each other, it makes a difference. Makes a difference, church. So why are people willing to listen to the gospel? I found this out. When people are willing to listen to me, it's because they know for a fact I care about it. I'm for it. We're not changing it. We're going to have visitation soul winning. We're going to knock doors and we're going to walk up on strangers and we're going to go there from house to house because the Bible said to do it. From house to house. But I'm telling you, when we show people how much we care for them, the door of the gospel is so much wide open. Do people get saved in the gospel? Sure they do. Not by our doing. It's by Him. It's because somebody in their life had already planted and watered. Sometimes we walk up and say, well, I've led me about 16 to the Lord today. Really? What about all the other ones that had been praying for? What about all the others that had been offered the gospel tract before? What about all the others that had got messages and put them on the radio and on the TV and all that? That's planting and watering. It's God that brings the increase. People are willing to listen, dear friend, whenever they know and understand that we have compassion on them. Every time Jesus went and He saw a multitude, what's the Bible say? He saw them and had what? Compassion. I'm telling you, Orlando's in a mess. Orange County, Osceola County, we're in a mess. Any county, look, here's an example. Orange County elected that crazy Grayson. Osceola County elected that crazy Grayson. You think we're not in a mess? Hey, we're not talking about he went up to Lake County and got reelected. He got elected next door. We're in a mess, church. If you voted for Alan Grayson tonight, that wasn't a personal attack on me. I'm just trying to make an example of how messed up we are. That's local. That's right here. I don't know the man personally, but when he did what he did up here and he does what he does, and listen, he'll probably be governor next. Who knows? Him or Charlie Chris? was a Republican, became a Democrat, an independent, now he's a Democrat or something. I don't know what he is. Politician. He's definitely not a statesman. How did we get out there? Reel it in. What does Peter tell them in verse number 19? Repent ye, therefore. Be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. How many times have we read this chapter, read this here passage, and it was, man, a lame man, walking and leaping and praising God. How amazing! That wasn't the point. Have you ever missed the point on many occasions? If you think it's all about the man walking and leaping and jumping and praising the Lord because he was lame from birth, that's, you missed it. The point is, the door opened because of the act of kindness. Now Peter can tell him how and tell them how to know the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. The whole point of Scripture is about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation and all in between. Where do you get that? In the volume of the book, says Hebrews. Beginning to end, it's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. He calls them to repent. Why? Kindness, mercy came in, and with truth and love they heard and listened. Now, how do we apply this? Four things. Who do you know, church? I asked you last week, pray for somebody. We'll mark them down. Pray. Ask God to give you an open door. Now here, who do you know that needs an act of kindness? Who do you know that's hurt? Who do you know that needs to be shown mercy and kindness? What can you, YOU, do to show that person kindness this week? Well, preacher, why's it got to be this week? Because we're good at procrastination. Well, I'll get to it last week of February. You know why we say that? Conviction of the Holy Spirit of God be off of us. Number one, who do we know that needs kindness? Number two, what can I do to do that? Number three, will you commit to doing that act of kindness? Will you commit to it? Number four, church. As a church, we need to work together corporately to show acts of kindness to our community. We need to pray and ask God to show us what we can do as a church for our community. Four ways to apply this scripture right here today. Who needs kindness? What can you do? Do it and pray with me as your pastor and as a church. What can we do for our community? Well, what are we going to do? What's the whole purpose? Verse 19. Not so that our community can start leaving in joy and praising God. You know what our whole purpose is? That our church may be able to share the gospel with our community. You know what they say whenever you knock on the door nowadays? Are you really a church? Churches do that? Are you sure you're not a Mormon in disguise? Are you a Jehovah's Witness? They're surprised when churches come by. Yeah. I'm glad our church does, and we're going to keep doing it because I'm telling you, that's what God asked us to do. When He's made the invitation, nobody wanted to show up. What's the invitation, Pastor? He gave Lock Haven Baptist 14 acres of property, 11 buildings. That's the invitation. It's not happening. So what did He tell the servants? Go out into the highways and to the hedges. When they did that, they came back in. Oh, there's still room. What did He say? Get on back out there. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. And I'm just telling you, I'm willing to follow God's plan. It's a good one. Real good one. Let's stand to our feet, church.